ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. I think we've gotten all of our fashionista out of the way.
Yeah.
There were some bad fashion statements back in the day, that's for sure.
No doubt.
I do remember a lot of that. I do remember the whole Belle Bib DeBoe and the look of the overalls and the overall shorts with the one the one strap down.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
I did the Kwame polka dot thing for a minute, a hot minute.
Kwame, wow, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we know what's showing up on somebody's Way Back Wednesday list.
And Big Daddy,
because I know you loved you some Kwame.
And Big Daddy Kane,
because
he was the first to
play,
kind of really go button all the way up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
With kind of the pointier collar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, because I was thinking about that for tomorrow, that are we going to have any prerequisites for the list tomorrow? I've been pigeonholed. I've got to get out of the
R&B.
Yeah.
Well, we just have to limit the amount of H-Town hip-hop that Nick can play.
Yeah, see, here. Now, by the way, I looked up the word pandering.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's not nice.
You looked it up. You were pandering.
I wasn't pandering.
Yes, you absolutely were pandering to the listeners by playing old school H-Town hip hop one after the other after the other. That was not the spirit
of
Way Back Wednesday.
An immoral or distasteful desire, need, or habit.
No, pandering is when you
gratify or indulge.
There you go. You were indulging.
But in an immoral manner.
No, you were gratifying and indulging the listeners by strictly playing H-Town hip-hop to get their
vote. I win last week. Now you got to change the rules. I get it. It's
No. I'm just saying that flies in the face of
you
the
spirit. You were patronizing as you worked the crowd and the audience to your favor.
Man, you should see my list for this week because I actually got a good portion of it done already. I got to change it. I got to change it.
I was going to say we would have to do the list.
I'm okay. You play whatever you want to play.
Without R&B or rap.
Are we posting it?
You guys would be screwed.
No, I would not. Because I already know a couple in
my
back pocket.
You play nothing but like Bad Religion?
Nope.
Some Wasp?
No. Wasp. Okay. All right. Jeez. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know you got some Wasp.
What was the religious heavy metal band?
Yeah.
I forget. They all wore the bumblebee pants, but the black and yellow striped pants.
That's right.
What were they?
Baby.
Was it Wasp?
Yeah.
There was another one,
Striper.
Too. Striper. There you go.
Yeah, I think one of the two. But I thought Wasp was the black and yellow.
I'm not sure. All right. Before we get off the topic, Lamont wants to get in here on breakdancing. He's probably got Electric Boogaloo. And what was the I had it before. The
Beat Street.
No, and the one with Sheila E. in it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Beat Street and Breaking. What are the two?
Breaking was one of them. Okay. Yeah. All right. Lamont, what's up?
The one with Sheila E. in it was Crush Groove.
Crush Groove. Thank you. Yes, there you go. DMC was in that too, were they not?
Yeah. A lot of hip hop.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of hip hop.
Everybody was Run DMC, LL Cool J, Low Key. Ice-T was in there and people forgot about that.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I didn't remember Ice-T.
Yeah, he was a nobody then. People really didn't know him, but old Barry got me to thinking about breakdancing and he's making breakdancing seem all happy and cute and fun and stuff. But if he remember what breakdancing was like back in the day, it was an event.
Yeah.
It was serious. You had a Mad Mug on, and it was almost like a fight. It was almost like a fight, and you mean mugging people. And then after you get through doing your move, and after you get through doing your little routine.
You there?
Oh. Uh-oh. You have to have a finishing pose. Your finishing pose is like 90% of your whole routine.
Yeah. Yes. Well, in that particular case, after the windmill, I did the old leg crossed, laying on the elbow, looking at you. You know what I mean? Like you're relaxing.
Yeah.
but with just everything hanging out. That's how you ended the windmill half the time.
The one eye was staring him down.
Lamont, you got to understand now, you're talking about a bunch of suburban white kids at a skating rink. We weren't going ham on each other. We were just seeing who could do the best moves. Like, we weren't, it wasn't street breakdancing. You know what I mean? This was suburban, you know, white kids just seeing if we could all moonwalk and stay on beat.
Like, man, we used to walk around the neighborhood with a boom box and a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, I was going to say the cardboard.
Y'all was a hack.
Yeah, man.
If somebody challenged you, you whipped out the cardboard and it was all right there and you just started dancing.
I never had a good boom box either. My mom always got me the cheap one from Radio Shack.
I had a Sanyo.
Yeah.
Sanyo. That was my boom box. Yeah.
I was never radio on Fight the Power. I could never be that dude. No way.
And you're right, Lamont.
Yeah, that's
man,
all I had,
it was like
appreciate the call.
You're
Lamont.
Right. It was like a gang fight too, because man, when you were going to embarrass the other, it wasn't friendly. You were going to embarrass them, show them up, and then move on.
Nick, you're making me want to do it.
You already are.
Let's go breakdance right now. You and me. We'll Facebook Live it.
I never was a breakdancer, so therefore I never will
be. Facebook Live it if you want me to.
And I definitely won't do it because I don't know any breakdance
moves. I wonder if I can still do the windmill.
Try it live in studio.
I don't have any carpet in, like cardboard in here.
I'm pretty sure we could find some.
You can't do it on the carpet. No way. You'd stick.
Give it a shot.
Nope. Not gonna
with a running start. Do that kind of around real fast and then get into that thing and hit that carpet.
Pop a hammy going around, that'd be the end of that.
As long as you don't pop them out.
I'd be back to being fat Barry because I couldn't exercise.
Don't rip them.
No, that's good times, man. That takes me back.
Oh boy. All right. So where we go? We got the Rockets last night. Nick, you were there. Big win. Execution key. Harden going coast to coast. No need for a timeout. Big layup. A lot of people giving him credit for that last defensive play, too. I thought they're not going to blow the whistle there, but I thought he really kind of undercut and bodied out.
There was some contact.
Yeah.
There was some contact.
But they're not going to call it at the end of the game. But a good win for them. I thought that they let the Nuggets, after a good first quarter, kind of come back and take control too much. But a win's a win. They got done what they had to get done.
Yeah. I mean, I'm losing. To be honest with you, I'm actually starting to lose faith in the Rockets. We could talk a little bit more about it afterwards. We got a break. But
right.
I'm losing faith in the Rockets? After they've won two in a row?
After the loss to the Pelicans, and then they lose, I think, did they lose to Denver on the road
off? They beat Denver in a close game.
But I think Denver, by the way, Denver I have so much more respect for. I think they're a really fun team.
Well, that's the thing. Don't lose faith in the Rockets, but you should gain some respect.
For the Denver win?
Yeah.
No.
Denver's a talented team,
you gain some respect,
man.
For Denver. That's a good basketball team.
For sure.
They beat a good basketball team back-to-back, home and road. In a row. I mean, they beat a playoff caliber team. So if you want to see what the Rockets will give you in the playoffs, this is probably what it's going to be like.
Now, it would have been more impressive if Chandler and Gallinari played.
Gallinari was, exactly.
But at the same time, Denver's going to be the eighth
seed.
Yeah, Denver's going to be the eighth seed. And Nick and I were going back and forth on Twitter last night, but I'll tell you what, that kid from Kentucky, Murray,
dude,
his range is from like 35 and out. I mean, and it's clean. It's a sweet stroke, and he drops bombs from everywhere.
They were talking a lot about him after the game as well. They were giving him a lot of praise after the game. So, yeah, he's got a future for sure. I think he's only 22.
Yep.
So,
yep. Again, Gary Harris.
Or 20. I think he's 20.
Gary Harris. He is like 20. Gary Harris from Michigan State. Another young kid. Very impressive. And Jokic, I mean, who saw that coming? Triple doubles from the big man almost every night.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they've got a good young squad, and I like Mike Malone as a coach. You're going to hear a lot more about the Denver Nuggets in the next couple of years, I think.
Before I get into like thoughts on the game, can we get Bill Worrell to please stop? Please?
I think you're close, but I mean, now, what do you mean?
Isn't he on a one-year contract anyway, Joel?
Bill Worrell? I think so.
This is his last year,
I think,
right?
This might be it, yeah.
I don't want him to stop broadcasting him. I just want him to stop trying to come up with clever nicknames.
Well, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Bill Worrell. Because now, what was he saying?
Well, the Ariza for Threeza annoys me.
Yeah, that one gets on my nerves. And then a Slam Decker. But now he was saying something like Super Sam or Spun Up Sam or something. I was like, dude, just stop. Please. Yeah. I just want to hear the game.
But here's the other problem. And again, I had to deal with this with the radio guys when they moved him up. But having TV up that high, all night long, he had the wrong guys. All night long, he was like Moutier with the diving on the floor for the rebound. And I'm like, no, that's Jameer Nelson. And they look completely different. But okay. Yeah, I mean, it's killing him to be up that high because he just can't see.
Honestly,
the numbers
I made a mistake. I thought Lou Williams hit a three, and I said Lou Williams hit a three, and it was actually Trevor Ariza. I was like, oh my god, I totally missed
you're
that.
Racist. You're racist.
Since they're both racist. Black, you're not really racist.
I deleted it.
That is racist.
Why?
Because they all look alike to Nick. Oh, that's racist.
Don't put me in that. Don't put me in that group.
This is like AJ trying to get Joel to say the N-word Thursday and Friday on the stream.
Or the C-word, which then he proceeded to just drop right in front of us.
He's like,
I thought
one
for sure you were going to say it.
He was like, what word, one
me?
Word won't you say?
No, Barry.
Oh, yeah.
And then I said the C-word, and then like within a minute, I knew he was going to do that. He was setting it up. He was setting it up to either trick me into saying it, or he was going to say it to me or call me. Yeah, there's no doubt.
All right, so we'll get to the Rockets wrap. We can also get to some of the other NBA news of the day and the little skirmish that happened in OKC kind of the aftermath of all that. But for right now, I want to tell you about Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy, a locally owned and operated company here in Houston, Texas, that is completely focused on making sure you get the best energy plan at the best rate and the best prices for your business or your home personal needs. Josh Peshnikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. They don't have an automated system. You call, you get a human being, whether it's a customer service issue or a new customer that wants to get the right plan. They're going to take care of you. And right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. And essentially, their whole focus is affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back here in Houston, Texas. They provide energy for homes as well as businesses. They make a plan that is a great rate at the times that you use energy most. If you're at home and you use it at nights and weekends most, they'll make the plan fit your needs. If you're a business and you're open during the day but not so much at night or on weekends, they'll do the exact opposite and make a plan that works for your business. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It'll offset your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. And like I said, no crap, no just trying to make a buck, no trying to give you a rate that expires quickly and then they charge you a higher rate that makes them money and doesn't help you at all. It's all about Infuse Energy. 844-INFUSE-2. That's 844-463-8732. Or even easier, infuseenergy.com. Give them a call.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4. We're about to get into NBA. Before we do that, I did mention one thing to put a capper on our fashion that I found out was a constant wherever we grew up. The starter jackets were also big,
yep.
And they were identified with, like in Milwaukee, they were identified with the gangs. So I was like, I was a ball boy for the Bucks growing up, and I had the Bucks starter jacket. That was part of your uniform. But if you wore it outside of work, that was the 27 gang, the 27th Street gang in Milwaukee. You probably didn't want to do that, especially after dark.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. They chose the Celtics, the Sixers, the Bucks, and I want to say the Lakers those were the big ones. But boy, I forgot how popular those shiny starter jackets were. And you could, like you were saying, you could get mugged for your jacket.
I got jacked for my Cowboys starter jacket. Gunpoint.
You wore a Cowboys jacket.
Yeah, that's the only one that was on sale at the Foot Action.
Yeah.
That's where I got it.
I was Bucks best friend's mom, single mom, like met the Sixers coaching staff, and we got so my best friend got a Sixers jacket. I'm like, I'm going to get one too. And then the whole time I was never wear it because I'm like, why would I ever wear a Sixers jacket?
They were so expensive. I was raised by a single mom, so we one income, and we weren't going out dropping $150 on a starter jacket. So I had to get that one that was on sale for $75 that was 2 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
And then I got jacked for it. Man, if you're going to rob somebody, get the good starters. Don't get the old on-sale starters.
You did hit it right the other day, too, when you said when you head to the Foot Action, the Foot Locker, and you got the sale rack over on the side where you can get the cheap tees, but you got to take what they got left.
Yeah.
All right, so Rockets win last night. Looks like, as we said before, they're going to stay in the three spot. But I'll tell you what, it's congested in the West. One game separating 4 and 5, and then 2 games separating 4 through 7, I want to say. So that's going to be interesting to see. And then at the same time, again, with the Rockets game going on, I caught it on Twitter and then I went back and looked at it. But the Warriors, again, in OKC, and again, the millennials, because the topics in the NBA right now are resting versus non-resting of the superstar players, and then the commissioner coming out and saying we're going to put an end to that.
Well, real quick, can I just give some thoughts on the Rockets before we move on?
Oh, yeah, sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to say the one thing that I noticed about the game, because I didn't get to watch it live. I did open mic last night, so I had to watch it on the DVR. So I actually knew the outcome of the game before I watched it, but I still wanted to see how it played out. And one of the things I noticed at the end of the game is with about 3 minutes left, the Rockets were up 115 to 108, and they win by a point. So that lets you know down the stretch that they were outscored. Their defense kind of let them down again, but they held on, I mean, thanks to Harden. And I think Harden is playing much better defense now. Matt Bullard said so on, you know, he said as much on the broadcast that over the last month, Harden really has been playing a lot better. Have you noticed the last couple of games? He's been guarding big men down low in the post. And and he's been fronting them, or he's been playing behind them, and he's been bodying them up, and that's good. But I think at times this team still struggles in transition. And I've noticed, and we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but with James Harden, my biggest problem with him now, he does everything else wonderfully. But if he doesn't get a call at the other end, he does not get back on defense. There are countless times. Watch a game. Watch the next game
I've been talking to a lot of my friends about this over the years.
The next game that they play, there are several 4-on-5s on a break where Harden misses a layup or doesn't get a call on a shot that he misses, and you're going to see that it's a 4-on-5, and Harden is the last one up the court, and it's usually after the other team has scored, and he runs up and gets the ball to start offense.
You and I were talking about this. It used to be on the Euro step. It used to be on the Euro step when he stopped getting that call after he got that call, and then it'd go 4-on-5 because he'd be bitching about the calls. Now it's going to be, and I'm telling you this, it's coming. When he tries to get that foul outside the three-point line,
in the playoffs,
with the hand down man, it's not going to happen in the playoffs, and he's going to stop.
It's going to be air balls,
and the break's going to go the other way, and he's going to put his team in a couple of bad situations.
I mean, that happens. It happened with him before in the playoffs when he wasn't getting the calls that he was terrible shots and so forth. So I'm sure it's going to happen again because they're not going to call. He's not going to get as many. But that really bothered me, the fact that he's just not getting back on defense when he doesn't get the calls. Otherwise, though, I felt like they played decent defense in the first half, even though they gave up a lot of points. They were in the passing lanes. They got a bunch of tip steals on just when, as the Nuggets were trying to move the ball around the perimeter, they were getting steals. Harden had one. Ariza had one. So I think the problem is at times they play good defense. They're just not committed to it for the entire game. And that's why you see them give up a 40-point quarter and then come back and give up, 16 or 20.
Yeah.
I want them to commit more to it the whole time.
Yeah, they're pretty inconsistent on defense. They can definitely be inconsistent on defense. That Euro step, though, man, it's confusing for some of these refs because one of them, they called a travel, and it was totally not a travel.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing that he might have to watch out for in the playoffs because they just call the game so differently in the postseason.
Here's what I liked about last night. That was a really poorly officiated game, and Danny Crawford was awful, but he was awful both ways. And there was a couple times where Jokic got hit in the face, and he wanted to stop and complain, but then the next trip down, he got a phantom call and an and one, and then Worrell was trying to surmise that, in that equation, he still came out plus one because for the shot that he didn't get the call on, this time he got, it just needs to be – they need to tighten up their game, too. We're getting close to the playoffs. And the thing that worries me is the bench is, again, kind of inconsistent. I still think, aside from the big breakout game, the first game Lou Williams played, he's still trying to find his way, and that he and Gordon kind of both are a little bit more timid than they were when it was just with Lou with the Lakers and with Gordon with the Rockets, where they knew when they came in, their job was to shoot it, to get it up, to do what they got to do. And now I think they're kind of in between. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and are you going to do it? Am I going to do it? That bothers me. They got to figure that out. But they've got the time to do it now, and they're in a position where, like we said, they're not going anywhere. Now it's going to be more about, fine-tuning and tuning up what you got, and then worried about who you play in the playoffs, because it's going to be interesting. Look, you don't want to get in a situation. I really believe this. I don't think you want a tough first-round matchup. And if you get Utah and Barry and I disagree on this, but I think the Clippers could really be a problem. Not that they wouldn't get by them, but I think that they have enough talent that if they figured it out, that they could pose an issue because they could just say, hey, screw the regular season, but come playoffs if we're healthy and we can set this rotation and do some things. I think it could be a problem, but matchups are going to be so key. This is where they've just got to focus. I saw people tweeting, hey, they're only 2.5 behind the Spurs and 7.5 behind the Warriors. That's great if it was at the midway point. You ain't catching Golden State.
No. Nope.
And I really don't think you're going to catch San Antonio either. So just concentrate on doing what you do and do it better. Tune it up and get ready for postseason. Because, Nick, you know, and I've said this, I worry about them in the postseason, especially because they are going to suffocate James Harden. He's been so great that they are going to put two on him. They're going to try and take the ball out of his hands, and they are going to try and make them do something else to beat him.
I'm actually fairly confident about the first round. Regardless, I mean, Utah right now is looking like the least likely team that they're going to face, but I actually feel pretty confident about the first round. It's the second and the third round because, in my opinion, as a fan, I'll say this. If they don't get to the finals or at least the Western Conference finals, I think the season is a disappointment. And that's the reason why I feel like I'm losing faith in the team.
You wouldn't have said that at the start of the year, right?
I did not. I didn't say that.
Okay, right.
Well, at the start of the year, I gave them a 7 seed. Okay.
Yep.
6 or 7 seed. Mm-hmm. They obviously did a lot better. But now I'm starting to feel like they really have to win these games down the stretch to really prove that they can get to the Western Conference finals. They really, really got to do that. I really believe that.
Barry, if they don't make the Western Conference finals, a disappointment?
I think now it would be. I'm with Nick on that. I think you could say that it's a disappointment because of how well they've played pretty much all year. You know, they have that team. They've beaten the Spurs. They've beaten the Warriors. You know what I mean? There's not a team in the NBA right now that they can't beat. Now, in a 7-game series, you know, we talked about a little bit with AJ last week on the stream.
Yep.
That might be a different story, but they have the ability and they have the roster to be able to hang with any team here. So, yeah, I think that it's a disappointment if they don't get to the Western Conference Finals, but if they were to advance Game 7, like lose a Game 7 to get them to the Western Conference Finals or something like that, I'd be a little happier. If they're one and done, for sure it's a problem.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I don't think that's going to happen. All right, guys. I'm going to take a minute to tell you about if you need to sell your home and you need to do it quick, then give the folks at Gulf State Home Buyers a call because they're like, yeah, no problem. We'll buy it from you if you want. If you're trying to get out from under the house quickly, but you can't, you're being held up by back taxes, delinquent HOA dues, divorce, bankruptcy, foreclosure. Maybe you lost your job and you're on unemployment. Give the guys at Gulf State Home Buyers a call, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They'll make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from beginning to closing. And all you do is sit back and relax. They do all the work. They've got attorneys, title companies, and professionals on staff to help you get to a stress-free sell of your house. 281-717-6100. Get a clear understanding of your situation when you call them, from title issues to quick closings. But you got to call them. You got to give them the information and let them help you out. That's Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or look them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I know ZZ Top had me in mind when they wrote this song, because every girl is crazy about a sharp-dressed man. But if you like ZZ Top and you want to check them out, it's time to rodeo Houston. Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo is featuring ZZ Top tonight for just $18. You can see them. Go enjoy the music, the rodeo action, shopping, dining, the carnival, all of that and more. Go eat some good food since I can't. Go have a sausage on a stick for me.
Oh, boy.
Buy your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com and go check out ZZ Top, a Houston legend. They are an institution in this town. As they should be. That's right.
No doubt about it. I got to give a shout out to my little sister, my niece, Corey, who's listening back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We kept telling you during last week's fun games and antics on the stream that you need to get that app because then you can listen to us anywhere at any time, take us anywhere across the country. So she's listening back home. She also informed me that she has all my starter jackets, which are not hers to keep. I want to make sure that's notated. At some point, not even if I pass them on to anybody else or not, those are part of my history.
This is Joel's version of marking his territory. He just literally just sprayed all over
So
he just peed on the couch.
Let me ask you this.
This is my couch. Those are my jackets.
Did y'all have a varsity letter jacket?
No.
I did not.
Okay, so I had one. And dude, again,
I
on the letter,
you shot 3-point hook shots. You think I'm lettered in anything?
Good point. But then on your varsity letter, too, you get all the medals for how many years, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
My sister, just who's a lot older than me, by the way, just decided one day that she was going to go dig that out of storage.
That bus you just threw her under?
Yeah, I should. I should run her over, too. Because then one day, just out of the blue, she decides, I'll take that. Like hell you will. She's like, you don't need that anymore. You haven't worn it in years. I go, right, but it's mine. And I, you know, you can reminisce someday on, you know, what you did when you were in high school. I have my dad's. My dad was like, he played 4 sports and lettered every sport from freshman year on. Mm-hmm. So those were sweaters. I thought that was really cool to have, you know, the stitched on the sweaters. I say, but my sister was just going to confiscate them for and wear them like to the bar with her husband on weekends. That ain't happening. The hell's wrong with you people?
I detect a lot of anger.
Oh, believe me, it's there. Rest assured.
You're very angry.
Not for Corey, but for my sister. Okay, now we're just going to clarify that. All right, Chuck, you want to get in here? You talk about the Rockets
angry.
And resting players, which has been a hot
topic.
What's
going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
How's it going, Chuck?
Hey, that's my friend. Just like I said, I think the Rockets, I don't know, Joe, you can probably attest to this better. I don't know if we can tighten up any more defense just because of the amount of threes. I think it almost actually does us better when people run us off the 3-point line. So that when we do attack the basket, it kind of slows the game down. Because them long rebounds, if you got 3 or 4 guys crashing the boards, they don't get it. You're always going to be outnumbered. And two, Joel, this is specifically for you. You've been around quite a long time. Are the back-to-backs that much different for these guys needing this quote-unquote rest during the time? And I'll shut up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Great call, Chuck. Look, on the second part first, the bottom line is, the back-to-backs are the same way they've been forever, and I always bring up McHale, when we bring him in, we'll ask him again. But their schedules were tougher because for a lot of those years, they flew commercial. There were no charters. There were no meals after games and hot meals on planes and nutritionists to give you the right food. And then, like, the Rockets and several teams have, like, sleep doctors to make sure that they calculate, is it better to stay the night at the city and sleep and fly or fly right after the game? They have all these people doing all these different things. There's no difference. It's a cakewalk compared to the way it was, and yet these guys are taking rest. I give James all the credit in the world again on this season alone, and I hope he's not just, you know, blowing smoke and saying the right thing, but the fact that he said, I'll have time to rest when I'm done playing. I love to hoop. I'm going to hoop. I'm going to play every night. That's the best response that I have heard. That's the response that everybody wants to hear, because the whole resting thing is like a millennial thing to me. There's just, you can calculate it and say you're doing it for the playoffs. You're screwing the fans. And that's why the commissioner's gotten involved, too, to say, okay, bottom line, we're going to have to address this because ABC, and you and I talked about this, the networks are pissed beyond belief.
And they should be.
And as well, and the fans, like you said, if I got tickets to see LeBron James play in my city, and I've been waiting for 3 months of the schedule because I can't wait for them to get there, and I get the word in the newspaper or on the internet or someone lets me know, hey, you know LeBron's not playing, right? He's sitting out. He needs to rest. That's just BS to me.
Yeah, although, I mean, I'm all for resting players, but there are times and opportunities to do so throughout the year where you don't have to sit your entire starting five like these guys are doing. I mean, there's blowout games where you can sit them in the fourth quarter. There's plenty of opportunities to do that.
You know where else? Practice.
Yeah, that too. They don't have to practice as hard or at all. I don't know. I don't feel sorry for these guys. I mean, they get paid. These guys, like you said, they have all these people that are concerned about their health and their nutrition. And they, you know, if these dudes in their mid-20s can't stand the rigors of a basketball schedule, then maybe basketball ain't your thing, dude. Like, I'm all for resting them in a way that makes sense for the fans and the teams and everyone else involved. But when a team like the Spurs comes to town and it sells out quickly because everyone wants to see the Spurs and you sit all your stars, and Pop sometimes does it out of spite. If it seems
I agree.
Then that's a problem. That's an issue. Now you're really screwing with the product of the NBA as a whole.
And he's got to be worried. He's got to be careful with that because now they're going to have that meeting, I guess, in New York on April 6th.
Yeah.
That's going to be a main topic of discussion.
It's going to be interesting.
And they're
going to
require, if they require a notice in advance, and then they're going to leave it up to the NBA as to whether or not they approve them sitting those players, I don't think that's going
to
make them happy.
No, because, I mean, as a coach, you can't tell me when to rest my players. You can't tell me when to, you know, who can go and who can't.
Well, but he admitted, did you see his quote last night, where he understands from a basketball purist standpoint, and he says even we are purists to some degree. But I agree with what Barry said first and foremost. Sometimes a guy like Greg Popovich, not that he's trying to prove he's bigger or better than the league, but that's just a, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. You remember the year he did it against the Heat in a rematch of the finals, and the Spurs ended up taking the Heat to overtime without Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan, and he was, and yet he still got fined for it. So then he was going to do it even more to say, look, I can do whatever I want. But again, this kind of, this whole thing, this whole millennial thing about resting players and sitting them out on big games, and then you've got, you know, the whole people saying Golden State had a real problem and was mad at the Thunder because they were too mean to Kevin Garnett when Garnett made it, I mean Kevin Durant, when he made his first trip back to OKC. Seriously? Put your big boy pants on and tighten them up and deal with it.
What do you
know?
How do you expect fans to react to you?
Back in the day, do you think when the Lakers came rolling into the Garden or vice versa, when the Celtics went into the Forum, that they were like, hey, guys, go easy on these guys tonight. We don't want any trouble or anything. Bull. You know? They toughen up. That's what the home court advantage is. It's like going into the black hole to play the Raiders back in the day, too. Deal with it. That's part of the game. You got, and Barry, to your point, just like on the rest, I said this the other day. You're getting paid so much money, and this is your job, so do your job. Mm-hmm. If you're hurt, sit down. But if you're not, bust your ass and play the game like you're earning the money that they're paying you.
Hey, guys, I think I'm going to rest the last two segments of the show. Just I don't want to get worn down for the rest of the week when we're on remotes and everything. Real quick, on text, I want to give a shout-out to Daniel. He sent in a very nice text about the show. He's like, you don't have to read it all, but I just want to give him a shout-out, man. Appreciate the kind words that you have for us. Also, real quick, okay, yeah, go ahead. We can do the caller. My bad.
Cool. Okay, let's get Mark in real quick for the break, and then Barry will catch up with the text. Mark, what's up?
How you doing, fellas? I'm just going to say, me personally, I don't mind the rest. And the only reason I guess I don't mind is because I'm a Cavs fan. And one thing all Cavs fans can remind you of is that I kind of wish Kyrie would have had a little rest that year if knee blew out. Now, you can't say when a guy's going to get injured, they can play 82, be good. But at the end of the day, when the champions are saying, hey, we feel like we need rest to win the ship, which is why they're there. They're not there just to play regular season games. They're there to win championships. Now, if the champion's going to say, this is what we think, that's the message we need, then you got to go with it. Now, I know Harden said that he's a hooper, he does this, but at the same time, Harden's not in contention for a championship, and he really has never been. So I can't go off with what guys who haven't won ships have said. You know, it is a new day and age, like you say, it's about the millennials, but if a millennial is going to say that's how it takes for me to win, you got to go with it. As much as fans might be upset at the end of the day, you know, we go watch the games, we want a certain guy to be there. You know, at the end of the day, that sounds good.
All right, Mark, two questions for you real quick, because we're going to have to, we got to keep rolling. But two questions. If you got a son and you're a Cavs fan and you're in another city and you've got tickets to see LeBron and then all of a sudden he's resting that night, come on, man. You got to be upset about that.
Well, my thing, you can be upset as you want to be upset, but then that's the time for you to teach your child that everything's not going to go the way you want it to be. You know, you pay for this, but everything that glitters is not gold. Just because you thought you was going to get it doesn't mean that you're going to get it. You're not, you know, fans are not in the right of saying, okay, you have to play this night, you know.
I understand, and like your Kyrie point, if he's hurt, it's a very valid point because he was dinged up.
Yeah.
But if you're not dinged up, man, I think you got a responsibility to play, bro. That's why the money's there for you. That's why you're getting all these big contracts. It's because the fans are paying to see you play and to wear your gear and to follow your team.
Well, you know, that's true, but at the same time, you got to also remember that these are also the same fans that will burn your jersey in a heartbeat. That, you know, that'll be talking crazy to you on the sideline. You got to throw them out. So it goes both ways for the fans as well.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
Yeah.
All right, brother. We appreciate the call, man. Don't be a stranger. That's good stuff.
Hey, before we go to break, thanks to Gabriel Pretty Hunt on Twitter, Jerry Krause has passed away.
That.
Very sad news. He passed away today at 77. He had health issues. So,
well, if you looked at him, you could probably assume
the architect of the Bulls dynasty.
Yeah, never always the most popular guy in the room.
Never.
But wasn't afraid to tell you your time is up and or we're going to make a change. But he did construct that squad around MJ.
Yep.
So he was 77.
Yep, passed away.
All right. So with that, we'll head to break. We'll get a couple of sponsors taken care of, and then we'll come back with a whole lot more. If there's something you guys want to talk about, 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4 o'clock. The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel, point, click, and shoot. Just like that. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show.
Hey, Joel.
And with that being said, Barry,
let's give away
some goodies.
Yeah, dude, let's give away some Raising Cane's. A $25 Raising Cane's gift card. We're going to give it away right now. You can win this gift card and indulge yourself in some One Love. 24-hour marinated, hand-battered premium chicken tenderloins. Raising Cane's has 24 locations around the Houston metro area. Visit RaisingCane's.com to find the location nearest you. We're going to do caller number 5, 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. You win a $25 gift card to one of my favorite places to eat, Raising Cane's. Let's
Man,
do this.
You ain't kidding. I told Nick.
Bro, I love that
First
place.
Time
I'm
I ever
lying.
Tried them was that a couple weeks ago when you said you couldn't have them?
Yeah.
I mean, that is no joke.
It's phenomenal.
They are phenomenal.
It is phenomenal.
Woo, boy.
Dude, that cane sauce?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. People really appreciate that sauce.
I always try to mac on the girls at the front desk so that they'll tell me the
recipe.
Yeah, and they never do. They're like, we don't
You've
know.
You've always been a special sauce.
Well, you're so well dressed, I figured they'd just spill every, you know, just yeah. give you, every, you know.
Plus, he's a special info. Sauce aficionado, so
like,
you know that.
I'm like, what's up, Candace? You've been working here long? Yeah, well, what the hell do they put in that sauce, girl? That's wild. I can't tell you. Well, then give me my damn order, Candace. Yeah, I try to get it. It's not working.
But those,
it's legit though.
Those chicken fingers are.
I never forget when someone took me there the first time. They were like, "Hey, you want to go to Raising Cane's?" I was like, "Yeah, what's there?" And they were like, chicken fingers." I was like, "Oh yeah, what else?" They were like, "Yeah, that's pretty much it." I was like, "No way! Like that's never gonna fly." And then I went there.
You master them like that,
and I was like, "Yo." And then they put one by my house, and that's partly why I got so fat.
I kind of like that trend where restaurants kind of keep their menu simple.
Dude.
And it's not too, you know, you don't have way too many options.
Yeah.
They just really perfect one or two items that they have on their menu.
And you know even their fries are legit. Like the
and the rolls,
the fries.
Too. Or the bread.
Dude, the bread, that's it. I got to go. When I go, I already know. Caniac, no slaw, extra toast. And then if I'm really in fat boy mode, an extra chicken finger. I got it down, man.
I honestly could do a bucket of those chicken fingers. They're just once you eat one, you're like, everybody's like, oh, you can't.
It's good.
Well, I'll tell you,
it's good.
Woo, you can get rolling.
Man. Good
so,
stuff.
So, yeah, that is definitely good. Some good stuff. And the other thing, too, with sports bars, stop trying to foof it up, Nick, to your point.
What?
I mean, stop trying to give me, options that are like too foo-foo. Like, I don't want the duck quesadillas, all right?
Ooh.
Give me some chicken quesadillas. Give me a taco option, burger option, chicken burger option, fries, rings, whatever. Don't try. If I want that, I'm going to go to a restaurant that really specializes in foo-foo, right?
I'm with you.
But if I'm at a sports bar, give me nachos. Give me bar food.
What, you guys have one in mind you want to talk about that maybe you were at? I don't know. Anyone in particular?
That it has too many options
out?
Or that are good?
Joel, you go first.
I'm not selling anybody out. No. Because everybody's a potential sponsor. So I'm not going to do that. And by the way, I do have one solution to throw by you guys on whole resting players thing.
All right. What?
What about the flex option? Like in football. What about if you get to that game and the coaches have to let you know at least 48 hours in advance that, hey, we're going to be sitting these guys that night. So at least from a viewer perspective across the country, I don't have to get the B team of the Cavs taking on the B team of the Spurs. I would rather see the Jazz take on the Clippers or somebody that's going to play their players. That's just one option to save the national TV aspect of it. Because otherwise, with these coaches making it game time decisions, and then all of a sudden, right before the game, you're all fired up. It's just like going to the game, but you're fired up. Saturday night, man, I'm looking forward to watching finals rematch.
Here's the problem, though. Those DNPs now, how does that get affected? Because, you know, you could just be, hey, LeBron didn't play. That was a coach's decision. I mean, like, you get DMPs every night.
Well, DMPCD is exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. So...
But I'm pretty sure Ty Lue's not going to sit LeBron for the sake
matter.
Of sitting LeBron.
I mean,
LeBron.
I get that there's that class of superstar versus non-superstar starter versus, you know, rotation guy. But at the end of the day, we look at somebody like Montrezl Harrell and, you know, he gets a DNP and it's like, well, that guy should be in the rotation. So it starts to become a judgment call of who you can and can't sit. And I think you're getting into, you're starting to tell the coaches how to coach and you can't do that.
I'm just letting you know that Adam Silver getting involved means that they're going to do something, and I'm not sure exactly how they're going to write this rule, but if it is found out that these guys don't have legitimate injuries, and not to the point where they'll have the protocol is the non-team affiliated concussion specialist, but in this case, a doctor that's going to come in, not affiliated with either team, and go, yeah, he's really hurt, or no, he's really not. But he's going to find them and find them heavily if he finds out they're just resting, especially in games like this. Because it means so much to the overall revenue of the league with those huge TV deals. And then, again, with people looking for it from a rating standpoint, from a team standpoint, from people across the nation and the fan base standpoint, this is a big enough deal that he's gotten involved already, and we're at the end of the season when you could have just waited till the offseason. I'm pretty sure that this is going to come with some hefty fines in the future if you rest them just for the sake of resting them.
Somebody texted chicken burger option. Wouldn't that just be a chicken sandwich?
On menus, a lot of people call it a chicken burger.
They do.
Yep. Thank you very much, Nick.
They do.
Oh, that's
but as we approach the end of the season, are we going to see more national games, Joel? Is that how the NBA usually schedules it? Because I would make the argument, if it's not that big a deal, just ask them to not sit them out on the national games. Isn't that where all the hurt is coming from, the national TV dollars?
The most, because it's the most noticeable. Yeah.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Now you think about this. The players-only deal is an extra deal they threw in because from a league perspective and from the network's perspective, they're looking for more games because that's how they get their revenue. So after Monday Night Football, as soon as Monday Night Football's done, they got that Monday night game. To try and add it something unique that will draw people's attention, they do this players only. Saturday nights was another thing. ABC was looking
players
for...
Players only is not drawing anyone's attention.
Well,
it's
but they
pushing
thought,
them away.
Right, but they thought it would because it's an extra game on the
terrible.
Network. But then you talk about from an ABC perspective, they thought because they gave up so much. Remember now, ABC had during the playoffs and other times, they had more than just the Sunday games. They had throughout the playoff series, they'd have a series and it was killing their prime time with their shows. So instead they said, look, we gave up all these things. Starting after college football, give us Saturday nights as well as Sunday afternoons. So they're adding more, but with that, you're right. It draws more attention, and it becomes a bigger deal when these guys sit down.
Yeah. I mean, I just figured that if it was all about money and the national TV dollars, and there's not that many national games at the end of the season anyway, or the second half of the season, why not just try to enforce that rule? I don't know. Obviously, coaches like Pop would not be happy about it, but you look at the potential approach that they're trying to take where you have to give them like notice about you sitting a player. I think the first question the NBA is going to ask, is this a national TV game?
It doesn't matter. They're going to come in and say, what does it matter if it's a national TV game? James Harden's hamstring is sore, and he's not going to play that night. Deal with it.
But here, yeah. So to Barry's point on the DMPCD.
He's got a sore back. It's tightened up. You don't need a medical anything.
The NFL has mastered avoiding what you said, Barry. The NFL has mastered, you better be on that damn injury list if you're injured. You better not hide it or bury it because, you know, like the Seahawks, you're going to get fined for that.
Yeah,
with
but
the Richard
what do you
Sherman
do if they're
deal.
Hurt? Let's say that what is the threshold that you have to give them notice on that they're saying?
They just said advance
you can do
notice.
Day of.
Okay, so let's say it's three games because I'm guessing that's more than day of. You can't be like you can't give them notice day of because then they can't flex out of that schedule.
Oh, I'm talking about you're talking about if the NBA's proposed.
Yeah,
deal?
I'm guessing it's 3 days.
I think it's like 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say that it's going to be the second game of back to back, and Harden's back tightens up in that first game that 24 hours before that Friday night.
But again,
now what?
That's legitimate because it happened during the
no,
course.
But
here's
not
the thing.
Really
but
happening.
But you're not resting three. You're not resting like Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James. You're not taking all the guys out of the game.
There was not too long ago where a couple of the Rockets guys were hurt, right? I mean, I'm not saying it was their stars necessarily, but didn't Ryan Anderson and Sam Dekker have back tightness in the same game?
They started, they suited up, they started playing.
But what
and
I'm saying,
they
Joel,
came out.
Is there's legit examples of that happening. So what's going to stop someone from going, no, on that dunk right there, yeah, he hurt his back, and then, you know, this other guy, he got a tight hamstring, so we're just going to rest both of them. Are you calling our medical guys liars?
No, well, they're going to say
I know, but that's my point. Like, first and foremost, Barry, at the end of the day,
they are going to realize, they're smart enough to realize that their pocketbook will be affected by this, whether it be short term or long term. And they're going to respect it more than you think, simply because it's like when we talked about with the Patriots, and people knew they were cheating, but they'd never turn them in and report what they know because it would take away from the whole NFL shield and the reputation and all that. So they respect that enough to not turn them in. It's the same thing with this. They're making such exorbitant money right now that they'll realize at the end of the day, look, this is in our best interest, because especially on national TV games, we need to make sure the best players are playing.
So on ESPN.com real quick, because I know we got to go to
Popovich
break.
Popovich doesn't care about that.
Notice to the league office, right? And
when
the media.
Today said he does.
Notice to the league office and the media immediately upon a determination that a player will not participate. Well, you can make that determination basically anytime you want.
Exactly.
Right?
At the end of the game, and you're like, yeah, tomorrow's TV game. We're going to arrest these guys, but we're going to say you got a hurt back, and this guy's got a sore hammy, and this and that and the other. I'm telling you.
There's loopholes for
him. What's the difference? All right, you know what? Fine. Harden's going to start. 2 minutes in, Harden, I just want you to grab your back and come out. You'll be done. They're going to get around this. That's my point. These guys are smart enough to figure out how to skirt all of these loopholes, or come up with these loopholes to skirt this issue that the NBA is trying to enforce.
I'm just going to leave it there for now, because we could go on forever. So we'll take a break. We'll get back with much more. You got a story you want to talk about that we
Chuck Tingle, yesterday. Baby.
Yeah, so we'll get a little tingle in your jingle. And we've got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show. ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.